then.
The stories you need to get your day started. These are Mad Radio's headlines on Houston's Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
The Rockets suffered a tough loss last night in Memphis on the heels of a back-to-back. They lose 126-125 in overtime to the Memphis Grizzlies. A shame because it was an outstanding effort by James Harden, who had 28 points in the fourth quarter and in overtime, had a stretch where he hit back-to-back threes, got a steal and score as well towards the very end of this game to give the Rockets a chance to win. But a lot of people this morning are worked up with a call that was called on Clint Capella, a foul on Jonas Valanciunas, who had an awesome game, 33 points and 17 rebounds. Valanciunas ends up going to the free throw line. He hits the necessary free throw to break the tie game and ultimately help the Memphis Grizzlies take down the Houston Rockets. Guys, did you have an issue with the call at the end of the game?
I did not have an issue with the call at the end of the game. Obviously, I'm rooting for the Rockets to win. It was an amazing comeback in the game, but he hooked him. I mean, Capella, he hooked the arm of Valanciunas. I don't buy that it was some sort of over the back. That to me was an innocuous, just positional situation.
Jostling.
Yeah, it was jostling. That's a good way to put it. And usually I don't love a here's where I am. If there is at the end of a game in a big moment, I don't want the officials to swallow the whistle just because it's a big moment. That was a foul on Capella. I wish it were not a foul on Capella, but it was, and they made the right call.
If you're going to be honest with yourself, switch Valanciunas and Capella there in that exact same sequence. And if Capella were in Valanciunas' role and they had called a push or an over the back, you would have lost your crap, you know? And likewise, if Capella were the one shooting there and Valanciunas had his arm on Capella, you would have lost your crap if they hadn't called that. That's where I am with that, okay? And it was you're going to drop games like this down the stretch. Usually it looks like it did where maybe for the first three quarters where it just looks like you have no shot at all. This has just happened to be a heartbreaking one because you had such a crazy effort. I feel much, much better about James Harden. I feel, as much as I've worried about his physical health and his endurance and all that, because he had such a ridiculous stretch where the weight of the world was on his shoulders, he might be as fresh as he could possibly be at this moment. D'Antoni's done a good job of managing his minutes, trying to scale back his role. You know, even when his minutes aren't reduced that much, they're taking some of the pressure off of him, and it looks like that might be working out.
I'm a little bummed out that this game that goes to overtime saw James Harden, Chris Paul, and Clint Capella in a game where the team was down 19 points, all play 40-plus minutes.
Yep.
And I know we're at this point now where it's like the last month of the regular season, somewhat meaningless. I am almost on team load management. I am like LeBron James. I would much rather James Harden or Chris Paul or Clint Capella in the fourth quarter of a game that they're down 19 points going into that honestly doesn't mean a whole lot. I'd rather them be on the bench sipping some wine like they're LeBron James. Wouldn't mind it. You know, rest these guys.
Do you think LeBron's usually drunk by the third quarter now? It looks like he's just kind of like,
well, now he should
maybe
be.
Maybe he's had a half bottle of wine and he's just chilling out.
Gatorade bottles.
Again, when everybody's huddled up and LeBron's not paying attention, it's because he's drunk.
Wine drunk. It's you know, he likes him some fine Cabernets or maybe some boxed Franzia.
I blame Luke Walton.
Why Luke?
I don't know. Got to find someone to blame.
Oh, all right.
And the young guys.
Yeah.
I can't blame LeBron for drinking.
You can't blame Luke Walton for being Luke Walton, like in the fact that Luke Walton was ever hired in the first place.
Well, that's he was a highly touted coach.
Emblematic of everything that Jerry Buss's departure has meant for that team. I say departure, like, you know, he departed this earth.
Up next in Mad Radio's headlines, guys, we're going to play another edition of the game that has been sweeping over America. Do you have any idea of what's going on in Major League Baseball? Because Ichiro Suzuki, who apparently is still playing baseball, is going to retire after a baseball game that is actually taking place right now, the second regular season game of the year between the Oakland A's and the Seattle Mariners. Ichiro Suzuki, everybody, still playing baseball. I thought he retired like 2 years ago.
How many people are outside that ballpark, I'm guessing? This is just going to be monstrous. So Ichiro's retiring in Japan this morning after this game, and there's going to be, I wonder, has he hit a home run yet? Does he do a Cal Ripken blaze of glory here?
I was reading into this story, because frankly, to Paul's question, I did not know that Ichiro was still playing. Mm-hmm. I knew he was a part of the organization in Seattle. I don't know who he's actually still playing. I think he had like two hits in like 30 at-bats in spring training.
Yeah.
So, he's 45. He's 45 years old.
You know, you think they would be making a bigger deal of this on ESPN, and maybe I haven't been paying attention, and I know that the NCAA tournament officially tips off today, so maybe they're talking a little more about that. But honestly, I vividly remember long 5-6 minute features on ESPN discussing Ichiro Suzuki with this young boy wearing like a bandana saying, Ichiro! to lead it off.
You know what's interesting? There used to be a belief, maybe it's still a belief out there, that like that Japanese players work so hard, like from the time they're so young, that they're going to wear down eventually and that they can't last as long. So Ichiro here, he's finishing out at the age of 45. Ichiro, I will submit this, Ichiro is the Peyton Manning of Major League Baseball in that his work ethic and the way he approached the game changed the template for how you're supposed to conduct yourself as a player. And Ichiro will never get the credit that Peyton Manning did. But he, like, elevated the bar so high in terms of just obsessiveness with his game. And not, like, not the style of his game or anything, because obviously that's completely gone by the wayside. But it's an impressive accomplishment. And he'll probably never get, likely, the respect that he should in this country just because he's a foreigner.
I feel bad because there was a time where the Seattle Mariners, led by Lou Piniella, who had Ichiro Suzuki, were like one of the best teams in baseball, and they've got nothing to show for it.
Yes.
So that is a bummer for Ichiro Suzuki, but I guess he's going to retire after this morning's game in baseball, which is more the shocker here.
He'll always have the Supersonics in Seattle, so they can rest with that.
Indeed.
Mad Radio headlines continue. Guys, we're going to go into the world of pop culture this morning. How many of you guys have heard of Shane Dawson?
I have not.
I did not until like a few days ago when this thing popped up.
I didn't either. I just Wikipedia'd him. Shane Lee Yaw is known as Shane Dawson. He's an American YouTuber, author, sketch comedian, actor, film director, media personality, and musician.
He's got like 3 million followers on Twitter, right? Like,
right.
He's kind of a big deal.
He was one of the first people to really make it big on YouTube. So that is where his base came from. But he had an interesting tweet on St. Patrick's Day because apparently back on the day on his podcast, which is titled Shane and Friends, he tweeted a lot of things about his cat where he said...
Well, he supposedly told a story back on the podcast about this.
Correct.
Right?
Okay. He told a story about having relations with his cat, and he Streisand affected himself. On Saturday night, everyone, you know, it's the midst of St. Patrick's Day festivities. Excuse me, Sunday night. And he said, I didn't bleep my cat. I didn't bleep on my cat. I didn't put my bleep anywhere near my cat. I've never done anything weird with my cats. I promised myself I wasn't going to make apology videos after last year's thing. So I'm just trying to be short and honest with this as possible. It ends the tweet with ?? Because I guess...
Well,
this
he had a whole, he had a long thread. I read the thread, and he's talking about how he used to do things for shock value, and now he feels ashamed and disgusted by it. I saw people freaking out about this, and I assumed from the jump that there never actually was a story on a podcast about him doing anything to his cat. I thought this was all like performance art or just trying to get clicks. Was there actually ever a podcast? Like, is there audio of this story?
I'm sure if someone does enough digging, they could find
it. I don't think they would find
about
it.
About the audio. Oh, the audio.
I don't think he ever actually did it. No. I think he's issuing a fake apology about something that never actually happened.
I'm thinking he's making an apology for something that he said on the podcast that never actually happened.
No, I'm saying the podcast never happened. I don't think he ever even told this story on the podcast.
Whatever the case, he apologized, so I'm going to assume that he did, and we're just going to move on from that. A couple of days later, he proposed to his boyfriend. His boyfriend said yes, and everyone thinks that the engagement is a sham because he's just trying to get away from the shame of his cat tweet on Sunday night.
Well, I just did some searching as we're discussing this whole thing, and E! News congratulated he and his boyfriend on the engagement. So this Shane Dawson is a big deal.
Yeah.
People know who this guy is. Should I know who this guy is?
You should now just because of this. I know.
He's a cat
bleeper. I'm not trying to like divert this or anything. I'm saying I haven't. Does anybody actually confirmed that he ever even told that story? Like, I think he's making up a story about telling a story just to create a buzz. That's where we are in the world right now. These are the things that happen.
So you're really, like, you're diving deep into this
world. I don't think it's that deep. I think it's like, that's the first thing I thought was like, oh, I could easily, you know how much buzz I could get right now where I'd be like, hey, everybody, that story I told 5 years ago about that time that I decapitated a homeless man. It turns out that I never actually did that. And then now all of a sudden people are like, wow, should Seth even be apologizing for telling a fake story about decapitating a homeless man when I never actually did it?
I suppose.
And then I'd blaze my way to YouTube glory.
I suppose all attention is good attention in today's social media, and maybe that was his strategy, but whatever the case, I mean, now he's cat bleeper.
What a weird world that we live in right now. Mike, Seth, and Paul on a Thursday.
Oh boy, it looks like he actually did it. There was audio of it. So he actually told the story that he claims was a fake story.
What a weird world.
Now, do you think it was a fake? Okay, do you think that...
He had thoughts about it.
Okay, but you don't think he actually performed the act?
Saw that cat sauntering around.
I don't think... if you've ever tried to do anything against a cat's will, I don't think it's possible. There's no way. There's when you try to bathe a cat, you almost bleed out. There's no way you'd ever try to do something like that to a cat.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Coming up at the top of the hour, is this what Brian Gain is going to be as the GM of the Texans?
A cat bleeper.
Time now for Move Seth's Needle.
Yeah, I was way off all these. Go ahead.
Even after years of football, farming, and fad diets, Seth Payne can still get excited.
I peed all over myself. I'm peeing right now. Oh my God.
This is What's Moving Seth's Needle. On Houston's Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Who knows what might unfurl?
All right, you know what's moving my needle right this moment is now I'm disappointed that this audio actually exists of this guy.
Shane Dawson.
Claiming to do something to his cat that now he's claiming never actually happened. Thanks to all of our depraved listeners who sought out that audio and now sent it to me. And now I'm going to have to listen to it. The other audio that I didn't want to hear this morning, but I did, was this promo that we're playing on our station. It caught my ear at 6:30.
The Texans just got better at the most important position on the field. Quarterback A.J. McCarron is a Houston Texan. Now that ain't a bad backup. Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
That's a good promo.
I don't know. I feel like if I heard that, if I've heard that on another station, I'd be like, you believe this?
Back it up.
Are we underselling this? Do we need to actually be more excited about A.J. McCarron?
Well, here's the thing. It's hard to oversell it because you want Deshaun Watson to play.
Right.
You never want to see A.J. McCarron.
Yeah, I don't want to say finally, they got the guy that can replace Deshaun Watson if he gets injured.
Yeah, if we are in a situation, God forbid, where Deshaun Watson, our hero, gets hurt, we don't want to see a backup quarterback play, right? Now, at the same time, though, it is important. And I had an issue with the fact that this team had Brandon Whedon, rest in peace, as their backup quarterback in 2018. I wanted a better backup. So this is a good move by the Texans.
Okay. I'll get more excited about it. Apparently, I need to be more excited about A.J. McCarron. It's hard to do, especially with those tattoos. This I was trying to figure out, because I knew we had Move Seth's Needle coming up. And I sat down yesterday, and I actually spent time on this, wondering why do I get so worked up when I hear people say, well, Bregman should have just waited because he could have gotten a bigger contract down the road. And this happens to me every time somebody says, well, look, free agency is where the real money is. Guys should have waited and held out for a bigger payday. Like, I honestly get way angrier about it than I should. And I think it's because I've been in this situation before. And this is where it's not just in sports, in life. This is the advice I would have, especially for you two youngsters, is I know at least one of you might be buying a home soon. Whenever a commission-based agent is working for you, they have an incentive to have you hold out for as long as possible. So, like, if you're an athlete, holding out as long as possible, because over time, free agency makes money. Like, waiting for that big money usually makes sense on average. Likewise, with a real estate agent, if you're selling your house, an agent might have like 100, let's say they have 10 clients. 9 times out of 10, it makes sense to not accept that first offer and wait. 1 time out of 10, it actually makes sense to accept that first offer. So the agent's sitting there and thinking like, well, I'm going to get a commission off of 10 clients. And if 9 of them do better by waiting, yep, then it's better to advise everybody to hold out. Now, that benefits the agent, and it benefits 9 people. Who doesn't it benefit?
You.
The one person that gets screwed over and maybe has to make like 3 extra mortgage payments. So Alex Bregman is in that situation where, hey, yeah, I can make a lot more money 4 years from now if I wait, but worst case scenario, I get injured a couple times, my production goes down, and I lose out on that big payday. Like, it benefits that guy to just hedge and be safe and take the big money.
So what you're saying, basically, is Bregman made the right decision in taking this money.
Because it was the right decision for him. If he was comfortable with the risk and he just said, hey, I've already got a few million in the bank or something, then that's fine.
Here's my nerdy question for you, and this is something I'm genuinely wondering, because you played in the NFL for 10 years and you had an agent. Does your agent in sports owe you a fiduciary duty? Because I imagine that they would.
Well, they do. No, this is, and I'm not saying anybody's unethical or anything. It's a natural human nature thing.
Okay.
Most really good agents, obviously I have a duty to you, but they're not paid by the hour. They're paid on commission.
Fair enough.
So there's a little bit of a conflict of interest there. You just always have to be conscious. Doesn't mean people are bad people or anything. It's just there's like one little subconscious motivator in the mind of the agent to say like, well, you know, hold on longer. You can make more money. I'm like, yeah, that's easy for you to say. I'm still making payments on this mortgage while I'm trying to sell this house. So, like, holding out, the agent is paying nothing on your mortgage. So if you hold out for 3 extra months and get a better price, and like a $5,000 better price on the house that you're selling, then that really benefits the agent. But it might not benefit you if you've made like $15,000 or $3,000 extra mortgage payments over that time. That's all. That's why I get worked up about it. That people trying to give you advice that don't necessarily, without even realizing, have your best interest in mind. Have you guys heard of ASMR?
Tell me more.
No.
Tell me more about ASMR.
Is that the bike race?
No. It's this thing where they play sounds that give you a physical response, like a tingling or sometimes like almost a sub-euphoric feeling. I can't figure it out, and apparently I'm like one of the 50% of people who don't respond to this. But you start going to YouTube videos, and it's the weirdest, like, is this a sexual thing? I guess it's not a sexual thing.
Now I'm very
intrigued.
It's
usually a bunch of, like, it's a woman whispering in your ear while she, like, rubs some object or scratches pieces, like, makes sounds that are supposed to be pleasing to the human ear. There's men that do it too. It's not a sexual thing at all. But I just don't respond to it. Tell me if you guys respond to this. This is a woman who's whispering while also rubbing her fingernails on this studded belt.
It is the emo studded belt from Hot Topic. Bought in probably like 2009. I think this is actually my brother's originally. We shared a lot of clothing.
Did you guys feel anything from that?
Not exactly. I think I need to listen to it a little bit more. Paul, do you feel anything?
Get the skeezy.
Did you? Did you have a physical response to it?
I feel like there's spiders crawling around my ears.
Well, that's not a pleasurable response.
No, I am
getting a
little
bit. Watch the video at the same time, too. Does that do anything for you?
She's attractive.
She's an attractive young lady. She's not, like, dressed scantily or anything. Okay.
So this is something that people can just do in their free time to make themselves feel better?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Not better about yourself or anything.
It's better in the moment.
It's supposed to be a pleasurable experience. Okay. I don't have a response to it. Yeah, Google ASMR, YouTube search ASMR.